And this week's interview, of course, is with Andy Daris, the singer of Helloween, or, you know, one of the singers, I guess you could say now. And I'm going to apologize in advance. Some of the audio is not the greatest because of just the connection that's going on. So, Andy, you know, talk about how the first half of this Pumpkins United tour has gone for you so far.
Well, it was quite a surprise, actually. To be honest, everybody thought about having much more people in the concert hall. That was clear from beginning on, but that it's that much people, nobody reckoned with. I would say personally, and I spoke certainly nearly every day with my guys, with my band fellows. I think it seemed like a dream, because you just don't realize why and how much people there are actually appearing in the concert. Like, it was like Mexico City. We had like 2 times 12,000 in the same concert hall, or Madrid, one of the last shows we did on the European leg. There were like 14,000 people in one of the nicest concert halls I've ever played in. So, yeah, it's a dream come true.
Now, I was watching some of the video on YouTube and really seeing, watching you and Michael Kiske play on stage. I mean, you guys really seem to have a great musical chemistry together. And what's it been like for you playing on stage with him? And, you know, you've been compared to him for so many years. And now you're playing on stage and actually playing live with this guy. And, you know, what's it like for you playing on stage with?
Well, first of all, you have to see that he was visiting here for 3 weeks on Tenerife Island, and I shoo him around in my favorite places and everything. And we got very close. So he's a person which I really, really like. He's a person you can talk with. He always has some interesting theme or subject to talk or discuss about. So even on tour, it's very important, because it's never getting boring. You always get something to talk. So being able to get to know that guy privately was very important, because when we finally hit stage, that was not a stranger to me anymore, but I knew this could become, and meanwhile is, a good friend for the future. I think for the next years, he'd definitely be a part of my life, in Helloween or not, because I know that sooner or later he wants to buy a nice house over here in Tenerife Island, so he's becoming even a neighbor. And that's probably the reason why you don't need to act on stage. I mean, he's meanwhile a good friend of mine, which I never expected, to be honest. But that's how life works. I mean, suddenly it fits, and you've been scared in the beginning, and we had lots of talk. He was scared of me, I was scared of him. And at the end of the day, it turned out that it fits very much.
So here's a question for you. You guys did that Pumpkins United song, and obviously, you know, that was released, and a lot of people really dug the song. And, you know, have you guys talked, and do you possibly plan on making an album, or maybe even recording something? Maybe not an album, maybe a song, maybe an EP. Have you talked about doing anything else together as far as going into the studio?
Yeah, we certainly had lots of talks. And I think the summary would be, if the chemistry goes on like this, then everything is possible. After recording that particular Pumpkins United song, we realized that it's easy working together. But then again, you know, when you meet musicians, I think musicians understand themselves without hassle, without problems. A musician is having a certain language, and we are all musicians, so we get along nicely. And it was a great experience to finally finish a song together with Hansen. Sure, I'm used to write songs with Wyke, but with Kai Hansen, it was the first time, and it was like, there was no problem at all. As if we would have worked together since decades already. So I could see an upcoming album for the future. If the chemistry stays the way it is now, I definitely would say 99% yes, we're going for it.
You know, obviously, it's been 20 years since my radio show, you know, started to air, and a lot has changed in the metal scene. And, you know, Helloween's been through a lot of lineup changes, has been through a few of those, not recently, but they have been through quite a few of those. And, you know, talk about the last 20 years of your career. What have you learned along the way? Maybe talk about some things, you know, that have happened over the years that have been, you know, good and bad, possibly.
Well, strangely, I would say that there is not so much that changed for our band. Helloween has always been there. Fortunately, with the great comeback we had over here, mainly in Europe and Asia, we had a great living, actually, and had no ups and downs like so many other bands. Even my idols, you just mentioned, like Judas Priest, for example. When the lead singer goes out of the band and the follow-up singer, in for me, it was a great singer, but he did not have the personality, actually, to lead the band. So everybody was happy when Rob Halford went back, and me, I was happy that Rob went back, and same for Iron Maiden. And there were so many bands, everything seemed to, like, yes, break apart, and everybody wants to try his own way, and solo shit left and solo shit right, but nothing really worked. Not even with a big name like Bruce Dickinson, he didn't sell that much. And when he went back to Iron Maiden, everything was like glorious again, and that's what the people expected and hoped for. I think it was mainly the 90s and parts of the next millennia. Yeah, until 2005, 2006, when finally everything reunited and everything went back to where it used to and where it belonged, in my opinion. But we've never been influenced by that, because we've been on that happy side to still have success going on, even with a new singer, myself. Mm-hmm. Probably we were a big exception in the rock world here. So if you talk me personally, the band, for us, Helloween, nothing changed that much. We always had fun. The good thing is that the chemistry inside, Wyke, Marcus, myself, Sasha, and now Danny, the last 10, 12 years, it was super stable, and everybody liked each other very much. So for us, there was never a problem, never the question to change something. That's probably why we did not actually do a united Helloween, a reunited Helloween, without myself or without Sasha, but kept the band as it is and just brought the old rockers back to the band. Mm-hmm. But yes, I know what you're talking about, and I strongly feel that everybody out there, even my idols, were kind of lost and tried to find new ways. For me personally, it was always the fault of MTV when they said metal is dead. And everybody seemed to believe, yes, okay, metal is dead now. But we all know that the decision from MTV saying metal is dead is actually just because of the money. Metal bands never paid. There was never a pay-to-play video on MTV was never paid by the metal bands. So for MTV, it meant no business at all with metal. But as long as metal was number one music, they had to play it and did not earn money with it. So it was a political decision to say metal is dead, and suddenly they did not need to play metal bands anymore, and could only play the bands who are actually paying to be played on MTV. Mm-hmm. It's because it is. It's very stupid. And yeah, it's politics, actually. But I'm happy to be in 2018 now and see all my idols up and running again. Talking to about Judas Priest, when we played the last shows with Judas Priest, Rob was singing fabulous, so I'm so happy. I can't tell you.
Now, you mentioned something pretty interesting, and something that I've seen, obviously, knowing you guys for as long as I have, that this is the most stable lineup Helloween has ever had. And what has kept you all together for so long?
Hard to say. It's coincidence. Sometimes you meet up with people and it just fits. Everything is just great with certain people. And sometimes you end up with bandmates who, after a few weeks or after a few years, change and it doesn't fit anymore. And you know the story. I mean, it's like the same with friends. Sometimes you're happy to have friends for forever, but most of the times friends are not forever. I mean, you know, how many of my old friends are still around me? I think from back in the days, from 10 good friends, there's maybe one around and the rest is not friend anymore. Mm-hmm. So that the same counts, I think, for bands. Sometimes it just fits and everything is fine and everything, and everybody likes one another. But this is not granted, as we all know. It's life. A band is life as well.
Right.
It's like a family. But the point is, a band is like a family, but it's not as in a real family. A real family, you can't kick out your brother, you know, or you can't kick out your father. It will always be your father. It will always be your brother. But in a family like a band, sooner or later, when people change and it would not fit anymore, then you need to get rid of certain people. Otherwise, your life will be hell, because you have to work with them every day. So for Halloween, the last 13, 14 years, it's just, yeah, we are blessed that we have five people who really like each other and call themselves friends, meanwhile. So this is something I really appreciate, and I know it's not for granted. So this is something special.
You know, I've known you guys for 20 years now, and I remember when I got a copy of the Hell Book, which, for those that don't know what that is, the Hell Book was a chronicle of people that contributed to the band, people that had, you know, the band had been affiliated with, whether it was a record label person or a band member or whatnot. And there's so many people that don't even exist. I don't even think I've heard some of the names that were in that book for 17, 18 years. I mean, so many people that I knew that aren't really affiliated with you guys anymore. And it's pretty crazy to see how time passes for so long that, you know, all these people, they're not around anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then again, it's 25 years or 30 years even of band history. Man, I mean, this is a long time. And my experience is people very often change. So it might quite be that we get along for 10 or 20 years, just like brothers. And then I suddenly change to a certain extent where you would say, I'm not recognizing that person anymore. He's not the same guy that I used to love back in the days.
Right.
We change. And sometimes we change in the wrong direction. But that's a very subjective opinion. The wrong direction for yourself.
Right.
It's not necessarily the wrong direction for him. But, you know, suddenly it doesn't fit anymore. And that's life. I mean, you know. And sometimes it fits. And sometimes it fits long for a long time. Sometimes it fits forever. But that's an exception.
You know, and that's the thing. Because what's interesting is that I remember when, you know, Gamma Ray first took the stage with you guys back in 2008, you guys would play a couple songs with them, and you know, you saw just how great everything seemed to work out. And now I'm watching these YouTube videos and you and Michael Kiske are switching off parts on songs, and it's crazy, and it's just amazing how this has completely exploded for you guys, because nobody really would know how well this tour would be doing. But now you're playing to all these people in a lot of these places, and you know, it's amazing just how much it's really grown.
Definitely. But this is also thanks to the people who are actually showing up. I think we would not have that much smiles and party on stage if suddenly there would only be 300 people appearing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it's also granted to the success. Suddenly you have that much people, much, way more people than you actually expected or dared to dream of. And suddenly you're there and playing in front of all these thousands and thousands of Halloween fans. This is a dream come true for everybody. And certainly it forces you to smile on your face, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So you can't be up on stage or having a bad mood when you're playing in front of 14,000 maniacs. You know, this is like, wow.
Now, was it difficult for you guys to pick what songs you were going to play for this tour?
Yeah, sometimes, but I think 2/3 of the program was clear. There are definitely 7 or 8 must be played songs from the Michael Kiske area. There are 7, 8 songs from the Andy Darris area you have to play. So at the end of the day, it was maybe 4 or 5 songs that we had to discuss about.
Right.
And more or less picked certain songs because of the mixture of the whole 3 hours concert to not be too speedy or not end up too mellow or whatever. You know the story, good musician. You always try to find a mixture which is more or less entertaining for the people.
So the next question is, you'll be touring here in the States. You're going to be doing a lot of dates next year. And an album is going to come out at some point. Have you been writing any songs?
Yeah, well, I think I know that Kai, Wyke, and myself, we are hobbyist guitarists in front of the telly in your living room. So I may say that we are constantly writing just because of boredom, out of boredom. Because it's, you know, my greatest hobby, and I know Kai is pretty much the same, is in sitting in front of the telly, having a smoke, drinking a good glass of whiskey or coffee or whatever. And you always have the guitar on your belly, so you're diddling, fiddling, and playing some weird stuff, and it sounds horrible sometimes, but then again, boom, there's 1 second where you go, what the f*** did I play here? That sounded good, didn't it?
Right.
And you try to kind of recall what you just diddled and fiddled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of the times how songs kind of, yeah, are being, in my case, are being written. So I don't actually sit down and say, I write a song now, yeah. No, I'm just playing the guitar for the fun of it, and that's it. And, you know, sometimes you play something that you yourself like. then the work begins when you start to write a song with that part which you just played on the guitar accidentally. That's my way of writing, and yeah, out of a hobbyist player, so to say.
Right.
And to your question, yes, automatically you're writing songs.
So I have a couple more questions for you here. You know, in the last 20 years, what's the biggest thing you've learned in, you know, just in life, just in maybe doing music? What's the biggest thing you feel that you've learned, and what's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Yeah. Well, I think patience is something back in the days, I had to learn because otherwise people would start to hate me when I've been impatiently whipping my fellow band members through parts and left and right and being like, so I cooled down and I'm more able to chill nowadays. And having patience with my surrounding, and don't ask people to be as fast as myself in certain things. So, and I realized work on certain songs, for example, or in rehearsals, work is much more pleasant. If we just take the time and sometimes even forget rehearsal because you have just a great talk, you know. This was impossible back in the days. I was an asshole, I think. And, I'm still wondering why they didn't kick me out of my pants. So, no, it's patience, I think. That's something I learned, and I really do appreciate it.
And for my last question, of course, as I end every interview off, Andy, any last words to say to the fans out there that are going to be listening to this?
Well, for the U.S., I always have to excuse ourselves for not playing enough, I think. I will always feel that the United States is like a little stepchild for Halloween, which is not toured enough. And, yeah, my apologies for that. But, my excuse is always, hey, the world is big. And, everybody who follows the tour dates from the last 20 years knows that we're sometimes on tour for 14 months. And sometimes you just don't have the nerve to go through 40 or 60 shows because United States is such a huge country that you when you play only 6 or 7 shows, that you only scratch the surface, you know. So, yeah. To cut a long story short, I mean, thank you for still being there, though we are assholes and don't play the US that much. That's my final words.